last year on September 30th. I don't know anybody remember. At that time, I titled it Facing Temptation. Shortly afterwards, in early October, we heard the news of the famous movie producer, Harvey Weinstein, was accused of sexual assault by a few women. And since then, many women came forward to share about their experience of being sexually assaulted or harassed. And the accused are mostly public figures, celebrities, like some of them, Kevin Spacey, the Las Vegas famous magicians, David Copperfield, a few the U.S. senators, congressmen, and even at home here, Patrick Brown, our Ontario PC leader, was accused. It became a movement. The movement is called the Silent Breakers. So women come forward to talk about their experience. And then it's also called the Me Too movement. Time magazine, as a result, towards the end of the year, last year, they make the person of the year as the Silent Breakers. So in this picture, they have a few people, a woman, who come forward. It says the Silent Breakers, the Silence Breakers. And this picture actually is I don't know whether you can see it, at towards the your right-hand side, there's an arm, right? There's a, it's kind of dark, towards at the corner. So the five ladies are known already that come out, and then there's another one with the arm. This is an unnamed arm, so it's symbolized that there are more people that may not come forward, but they also share that experience. Sexual temptation is so prevalent in our society. These accusations by the to the celebrities, public figures, are just the tip of the iceberg. It is it's just a few people, famous people, but that behind it, underneath it, there's the general public. How our society, many people have trouble handling sexual temptation. So because of this, I decided to address this issue again from the same passage in a slightly different angle. And I titled this passage is For Christians, God's Presence Make All the Difference. When we face sexual temptation, God's presence makes all the difference. In the passage that we read just now, Joseph was approached by the wife of his master. His response, wild, spontaneous, were well thought of. You know, it is not just Joseph just answer, just out of the blue. He knows this is coming and he is prepared for it. If we read this again, it says, now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master asks, withhold nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though he spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So you see, when Joseph faced this sexual temptation, he responded. Even no doubt it is spontaneous, but Joseph is already prepared. He had thought about all the rights and wrong. He have already cleared, think through in his mind. He says, right away, he says, number one, it is morally wrong to take another person's wife. Notice, at that time, the Ten Commandments was not even there. But it is already always wrong to murder another person, to take another person's wives, to steal their property. The Ten Commandments just formalize of what God's will for people to live among one another. So it's morally wrong to take another person's wife. Second, Joseph says, I cannot abuse his master's trust. My master trusts me. I cannot abuse this privilege. How can I do that? And most of all, he says, I cannot sin against God. Even though nobody knows, Joseph said, God knows, and I cannot do such a wicked things to sin against God. This principle of thinking ahead, thinking straight, will help us to face sexual temptation. Because the mind is the root cause. Apostle Paul said, we have to take every thought captive. We have to control where our thinking. The battle always begins in your mind. For some of you, will be soon going into university. It is an environment that is totally free. Nobody have control on you. Your parents are not around. Have you thought out, in this environment, what is the reason you should stay pure sexually? That is to avoid premarital sexual relationship. What is right? What is the motive? What is the justifications to keep pure? I hope you would arrive at the conclusion, because the Bible teaches that sexual activities between a man and a woman is only blessed within the marriage relationship. I hope this is the value, the moral that you have gained, internalized from all these years of Bible teaching. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So decide ahead of time that you will honor God by staying pure for your future spouse. And God will bless you for that. Some of you may be struggling in the temptation of watching porn. How is this harmful? Some people said, it's already there. What's wrong? I hope you can rationalize this in your mind. Here are some reasons that I suggest. First, watching porn will never satisfy you. It is like drinking seawater to quench your thirst. It will never satisfy you, but rather get you go deeper and deeper in addiction to get more and more. Second, it will hurt your relationship with your spouse or your future spouse. Pornography will change your attitude in seeing other women not as a person, but as sexual objects, only for your selfish sexual pleasures. Your digitalized fantasy with other women will hurt your future sexual relationship or present sexual relationship with your spouse or future spouse. Third, watching pornography will hurt your relationship with God. Is that something that you want to give up for? Something that would never satisfy you or just give you a temporary fix, yet you forfeit your relationship with God. I hope these are the things that you can think through in your mind. Some of you may be on a business trip away from home. Be prepared ahead of time how to protect you from sexual temptation when you are in a strange city, when nobody recognizes you. Again, be sure of this. God is with you. Even though nobody recognizes you, God's presence makes all the difference. You are never away from God's presence. When you are in a new town, don't venture out into the red light district. Some people said they would bring a picture frame of his wife and the family's portrait and set it up right away in the hotel room. The evangelist Billy Graham just passed away. He is a well-respected leader. He's a leader who finished well. He's a famous leader, never fell into sexual scandal. But he did that by carefully guarding against these temptations. Many decades ago, he already had the practice that he would always travel with a companion. He never traveled alone. Either he was with his wife, Ruth, or he would have another brother who would always travel with him. He took measures to guard against these temptations. The Bible always warns us that there is serious consequence for sexual immorality. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 says, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." And of course, that applies to women too. God's presence makes the difference. God is around. Now, what if someone have already sinned, engaged in premarital sex, addicted in pornography? I think of the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. In that story, a group of religious leaders brought a woman who was caught in adultery and bring her to face Jesus. He says, "Jesus, Rabbi, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. According to the law of Moses, we should stone her to death. What do you say?" And the Bible says, it was a trap. Obviously, wants to Jesus to issue an execution order and get him into trouble, and also accused him of being not grace. And then I think many of you is familiar with the story. How did Jesus answer? Jesus did not answer right away. Jesus just bent down, used his finger to write on the ground, maybe on the sand. The Bible did not say what Jesus wrote, but it reminds us God used his finger to write on the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. Maybe he wrote, "Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not gossip. Do not covet other people's properties." After a while, people keep pressing him, "Rabbi, what's the answer? Tell us." Jesus then stand up and says, "Anyone who is without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone at this woman." And at that, you know the result? From old to young, everybody leave the scene. And Jesus finally asked the woman, when everybody is left, he asked the woman, "Has anyone condemned you?" "No, sir." They left. And Jesus said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." From this story, I can think of that first, you are not alone. I'm sure if this question is asked in this century, the same question, this century will soon be empty. Has anyone ever said that they are without sin? You can stay. I'm sure this century will be empty. We all fail. We all sin. But Jesus tells us that forgiveness is possible. It is possible because Jesus provided the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He is the perfect sacrifice. He died for our sin, everybody's sin, so that he can offer forgiveness. And thirdly, change is possible. Obviously, Jesus believed that this woman can change, and he says, go and sin no more. Leave your life of sin. Repentance. When we repent, change is always possible because God promised to be present with us. God's presence makes all the difference. Just as God is present with Joseph and he prospered, despite later on, we see that he suffered for being good. Actually, he make a righteous decision, and then the master's wife accused him, and he suffered for it. Suffered for doing right, the right thing. But God was with Joseph, and God controlled everything. And because of this, he was thrown in the prison. And because of the prison, he got to meet the chief servers of Pharaoh's. And because of this encounter, he was able to interpret dreams to the officials, and later on get a connection to see Pharaoh. So everything is under God's control. God's presence makes all the difference. God is with us. Even in this sex crazy world, everything is about sex. Jesus said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. And in our world, when we face all sorts of temptation, and sexual temptation is one of the most prevalent, that is influenced to all parts of society, all ages. The celebrities, just like I said, just the tip of the iceberg. When we face this temptation, God's presence makes all the difference. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you tell us to love God with all our hearts, our soul, our minds, our strength. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take control of our mind. Help us to see what is good, what is perfect, what is heavenly, what is desirable. And help us to be able to use your truth to make the right decisions. In our life, we face a lot of temptations. We pray that you would deliver us from the evil one and help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. It's a life that is a full, it's a life that you have designed for us to be holy, is to be good, and to receive blessings because this is the right way to live. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.